dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox, and I'm here to tell you you're listening to show 307. It's in our season 10 of SVC Sports Talk, brought to you, of course, by SVCSportsZone.com. All SVC, all of the time. I would like to bring in the two gentlemen who are the brains behind the outfit. First of all, let's say hello to Mr. John Bruce. JB, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great. We were talking earlier. You said you were tired, and I, of course, trying to be the ever-optimistic person I am, and people would argue with that, I'm sure, but we reminded you that this time last year we weren't tired. Well, we were sick and tired, but we're back.
I was tired because I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm one of those people that can get real worn out by being lazy.
Yep.
So about this time last year, I think I might have been going to, like, pick up Quicklist or Clicklist, whatever it is from Kroger, and that was about the extent of what I was doing.
Yep.
I think I might have started some TV shows, though, so, I mean, that part of it was good. But overall, I'm happy to be tired.
Yes.
Because that means I'm doing something and – something I really enjoy also.
Yep, that is true. We're back, and things are hopefully, fingers crossed, getting back closer to normal. Speaking of normal, let's say hello to Shane Combs. Mr. Combs, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing great, guys. Glad to be able to settle in this afternoon a little bit, watch a little golf. Could have probably done without the Reds game, but the golf was enjoyable, and then getting ready for another busy week.
Before you came into the room there a little bit ago, John and I were talking. I think I jinxed the Reds about Wednesday night. I was talking to a friend, and we were like, "Wow, even the Reds are, you know, doing well this year. They're hitting everything out of the park, and so forth." And so, then Friday, I think they went down to Arizona and you know, the wheels came off, so to speak. But and then the Masters, I know that's on. We're recording on Sunday, I watched that. It was great. So it was just a little bit of more normalcy back, and that's what we like. So speaking of normal, once again, why don't you just kind of give us a rundown of what we're looking at here on show 307?
Well, as always, want to give a shout out to Advanced Services, all the support they give our local athletes. As always, Bruce will be giving some shout outs and some information there. But again, I want to personally thank Advanced Services for the effort, as well as North Fork Animal Clinic. Appreciate Blake Lloyd and all the support that North Fork Animal Clinic gives the website and the podcast show. And then, of course, Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. Their work with the high school as well as the adult programs. Anxious coming up here next month, talking about some normalcy. I think we're going to be able to set up a little bit of our normal eighth grade field trip where the kids get to go out there and take an early look at some of their programs. So excited about that. Plus, Bruce will be giving some adult program information there. So, you know, throughout the show, guys, we're going to do a little old segment we used to call Three Up, Three Down. Mm-hmm. Kind of open it up, baseball, softball. John and I will look for anything big or small that just kind of jumps out to us as important as we cover as much baseball and softball as possible. Speaking of Pickaway Ross with their stat coverage throughout the entire year, we'll be doing that probably closer a little bit more after the turn of the first league round here in another week or so. We'll dive deep into the box score. We'll look for some things that, you know, maybe sometimes you don't understand exactly what happened in a game if you only see certain parts of the box score or you didn't see certain at-bats or whatnot. And then we had a good inbox question about the VA and about some of the things, you know, John, that We experienced in some other sports this year with home court advantage and now home field advantage here, and what that might mean for some of the tournament play. So not sure it'll be a long show, but I think it'll be a really, really good one. Some good fan feedback there. And that's where we'll go this week as Bruce kind of goes segment by segment and gives a shout out to those great sponsors.
And Shane, I know that you wanted to comment on a transition that's going on right now with the website. I thought you could do that right here.
Yeah, I thought we should include it here at the beginning of the show. Unfortunately, we're going through a transition to the website that we kind of understood was coming. We were hoping to get to go through it in June, but Yahoo hasn't been able to time that up with us. Unfortunately, we got to go through it now in the spring. So, you know, it won't affect the podcast at all. Mm-hmm. We'll still have the links right there. What'll happen is basically if all goes well here, hopefully by the time you're listening to the show this Sunday night, we're hoping to have it done before we go to bed tonight. You'll basically see like a temporary page for the website. It'll still, show appreciation to the same great sponsors. It'll still give the same information, might be a little bit different format. You'll still be able to go back and find the old website. It's just we're unable to update on that website at this point. So long story short, just hang in there with us for these next 5-6 weeks, and then we'll see kind of where we're at as we get in the summer. But we certainly don't want to cheat the spring athletes and their coverage. So we'll continue to do the best we can to get those things ironed out. But if you have any questions, as always, reach out to myself. Bruce gives the contact information each week, or contact John, and he can always get a hold of me, and we'll make sure that we explain it the best we can to make sure people are still seeing the coverage that we're trying to offer our spring athletes.
Yeah, it seems like those IT things never happen at a good time. They always pick the worst possible time, and I know with you trying to teach and coach and run the website and get ready for the podcast and so forth, you've got your bucket full right now, and good old Yahoo decides to do their thing whenever they decide. They're the provider for the hosting, I think, of the website for those of you IT geeks out there. So we'll let you know. Shane, if you want me, if you end up, and I'm kind of going out a little personal note here, but if you end up with some kind of problem, perhaps I can put a post too on my website where people might be able to check or something like that as well. But we'll see. Okay. Like you said, you can probably hopefully get it taken care of here in short order. Well, guys, before we get into our three up, three down, we do want to mention it again, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration, and all the stuff they do, not only for our SVC athletes, but for the businesses and the residential heating and cooling services in Southern Ohio. They've been in business for over 20 years. I saw a post earlier this week where they had done some air purification systems, which was pretty neat given the atmosphere in which we live nowadays. So whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance, their team is available for 24/7 response, and they look forward to helping you with all your comfort needs. Give them a call at 877-947-4499, or you can look them up on the web and on Facebook as well at advancedservicesHVAC.com. As Shane alluded to, three up, three down, something we used to do in the spring many moons ago. I don't know that it was all that many moons ago, but it's a throwback, if you will. But we wanted to kind of have just a back and forth conversation, and this can be either baseball or softball, guys. But items, big or small, that have been important in your eyes during the first full week of league play, as we now have that under our belts. So, Johnny, why don't you kind of come up with something that has been important in your eyes during this first week?
Well, I don't want to, get out in front on too much stuff, but really getting outs 19, 20, and 21 mm-hmm. has been huge. There's been three games so far in the baseball side where a team has came back from two or more runs down to win in the seventh inning. One was on the road and the other two are at home for walk-off wins. It's, you know, they you always think that like closing out games, like with a closer in Major League Baseball, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it really is. Yeah. It's especially if you're able to get a pitcher's pitch count up, maybe you or it, and you've seen a variety of pitches from them already. Maybe you're more locked in late into the game. Mm-hmm. Teams get desperate, so play with even more energy. And then, you know, teams also tighten up a bit. You know, it's those plays are hard to make. So I think that's been a huge part of the boys' side so far.
All right. What about you, Shane? What's something that's been important?
Well, I think that one was really well said. I think I go over to the softball side, and you know, even though they dropped one the other night, I think the Southeastern Lady Panthers have to be where I would start. You know, I kind of started to hear things of this group that would be like, you know, juniors right now, mm-hmm. as well as some of the kids ahead of them, some of the kids behind them. Going back 2-3 years ago, I kind of heard of them coming up through and building from the ground up. And I know they've been able to get some extra athletes out. I know that they lost the Wheeler girl there a couple of years ago, which I'm sure was a big hit to their softball. But I think it shows off their depth that they have in terms of what Rich and Dollar's been able to bring to the circle, as well as the depth of athletes in the box. And again, I don't know. This softball league, John, seems a little bit weird. You thought you learned something mm-hmm. when Huntington beats Westfall, but then since then they haven't. You know, they drop a couple in a row there, and you know now, you know, you got Westfall Unita. Dean has been, you know, seems like we've mentioned like 12 different Lady Warriors on the website. But I guess for me with Southeastern, it's that appreciation when I see the small school building from the ground up. This is a program that really struggled in softball for many, many years. And to go a third of the way through the season, starting there undefeated at 9-0, I just feel like, again, I don't know over the 14 game haul where they stack up in the league, but I feel confident that they're going to win more than they lose this year. And I think that's a giant step forward Coach Lockwood and the Lady Panthers are making.
All right, John, back to you.
I just think the importance of pitching. I mean, that's obvious, but I think you see it on the softball side with Kello and Hall and Rich and Dollar, like you said, Shane. And, you know, Dumb up at Westfall has been really impressive so far. And, you know, and then you look over at the baseball side and you've got Brock Blanton and Lucas Blackburn striking out about 45 batters a game. You know, and that makes it, you know, it's really important. That's going to keep your team in a game. If you can limit the amount of times the other team puts the ball in play. I do think pitching is going to be a big difference on the softball side. With Adina, I think you're going to see the pitching keep getting better. But they haven't really been slowed down offensively yet. So, you know, maybe it's we'll see once they get into certain spots in the league. But I do think pitching is incredibly important. Obviously, you need to have some pitching depth as well. You know, with Westfall, they have Peyton Weiss. So you hear Blackburn, but then Weiss has been really good. You know, and that's what's got them out to a good start in the league play. Unioto with the Carson and Cameron DeBoard, and then Landon Patterson was really good against Piketon the other day. Piketon, I was impressed with Piketon's just overall team.
They're old.
Yeah, they're old. They you could tell they're comfortable. You could tell that they were comfortable with each other, and I thought defensively they were really good when I saw them in person. And then you've got the Jack kid who's thrown well for them so far. Once again, if that name is not pronounced that way, I'm sorry. Gabe Rose for Zane Trace, one hit shutout against a really fast athletic Southeastern team who's just going to keep getting better. But I'm impressed by just, you know, you have Piketon, no hits Southeastern, and then St. Trace one hit them. And then I saw them on Friday and I was like, oh, it must be pretty down. And I mean, they swung the bat pretty decent. And like I mentioned, have great team speed. So, you know, and I think you look at what Gavin Free did against Westfall, left with the lead after 6 1/3 innings, and they end up losing on a walk-off in that one. You know, and that's – I think that really just sums up how important pitching is on the both sides of the ball.
Mr. Combs, back to you.
Well, you know, when he was benching Piketon there, the first thing came to my mind was age and the importance of some juniors, seniors, and so forth. I guess it takes me back, John, to for baseball and softball, still the importance of the junior varsity level. I think if we've learned anything from last year's lost year, what it does to the depth of your rosters, and you know, you're throwing a lot of kids, first year kids, into the mix here. And you know, everyone's kind of going through it, and you're coaching through it, and it's rewarding from the standpoint you're getting better all the time. But I'm telling you, when you see injuries and you see, you know, kids maybe playing two different sports, or if you see kids involved in other things that takes them away sometimes, or you know, just like you said, the inexperience in the first year players, I think it reminds us, moving forward in the years to come, the importance of that JV level in developing our young arms, developing the catcher position, developing, you know, or strengthening, I guess, your 6, 7, 8, 9 in the batting orders. All of those different things that I feel are what separates a top four team in the SVC from a bottom four team. And I think that's where the junior varsity level is really, really important. You know, you might say in softball that it's not as important from a pitching perspective, but I would still argue that, again, the difference in, say, an Adina, Uniota, Westfall type of lineup is their ability, John, to hit 1 through 9. You know, Uniota's ability to protect an Avery Miller, whereas I think you're starting to hear more and more where teams are like saying, okay, Kyle Kellett, you're just not going to beat us. You know, it's that ability. So those are just some interesting things I had in my notes here that I the junior varsity is what got me thinking during the COVID-19 situation here, Bruce. But maybe you say depth. I think that even correlates to the junior varsity situation I'm talking about.
Experience is the best teacher. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. JB?
Well, I want to kind of harp on Shane's point real quick before I go into mine.
Sure.
But we have a really nice sophomore group and a good freshman group too. And we had a player who actually, you know, was starting some of the varsity scrimmages and just kind of struggled and needed to clean up some stuff. So we're able to use him with me with the JV team to get some innings in and work through some stuff where, you know, if we had last year, he's probably ready for varsity baseball. And we had to kind of remember that with some of these sophomores is that they haven't played. They play summer ball, they play travel ball. Some of them, some of them play at some high levels, but it's a different game. And I think it's really important to remember, you know, we've got a bunch of kids, you know, with Uniota, we've got 9 games in now. We've got a bunch of kids that have played 9 varsity games. And we've got 3 that have played many more than that. But for the most part, you got a bunch of kids that, or even if you have players that have to play in a different position than they're used to, maybe that JV year or getting some doubleheader innings in for last year, if they're already a varsity player, would have made a big difference for teams. And I do think it's really important. But my third point was going to be about extra base hits. Not everybody's going to be able to string together 3 hits to score somebody in an inning. And if you don't have great speed, where I do think on both sides, there are some teams with some really good speed. But the extra base hit is huge in the high school game. And I think if you can, you know, kind of a bloop and a blast, but it doesn't even necessarily have to be a blast. You can get a single and a double. Oh, you're probably scoring on most fields in the SEC. And, I think it's very important to be able to have some kids that can get the extra base hits and take that extra base whenever a ball maybe gets away for, maybe takes a weird weird hop in an outfield, or maybe someone loses loses their footing going after a ball and doesn't have their steps right to throw. Maybe you are aggressive and take that extra base. And, you know, taking extra bases also puts a lot of pressure on the defense and the pitcher. So if instead of, you know, just a bloop single, you know, to start an inning, you get a bloop double because you're hustling out of the box, that's going to put a lot more pressure on the defense and, you know, pitcher and catcher to keep that runner at second. And usually that means that runner is going to score. I know there's a lot of, you know, with all the stat head stuff that's out there for baseball now, there's all kinds of different ways of looking at things, but the importance of starting an inning with a runner on second pretty much means you've got like a 60-65% chance of scoring in that inning, and that's a big difference than starting a runner at first. So I think that's
In high school, I would say that even goes up right to 80 probably.
Now I can't completely agree with that on the JV level, because we had a game with four doubles yesterday and only got three runs, but and I think three of them were to leadoff innings, but at the same time, that puts down to playing against teams that are prepared for that. And you know, it's definitely a huge part of the game to be able to get those extra base hits.
Shane?
Well, what's interesting about his point there, Bruce, is he's right. In baseball, it's probably a little bit more of hitting the ball gap to gap and hitting the double, occasional triple, more than leaving the yard. But in softball, John, it is kind of leaving the yard. We got a lot of kids around the league that have hit the ball at the ballpark. I know, you know, probably right off the top of my head, you know, Miller and a couple teammates there from Uniota, and then the Kello girl and Vogelsong hit one out the other night. And, you know, so there's several Westfall kids that did. I know Olivia Smith hit one out in a scrimmage. So, I mean, you're probably going to have the Zane Trace there, McCullough and Scott, and I might even be missing one. So, yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, you're where you ended your point kind of was where I wanted to pick up my third point here in my notes, and that was bunting. I think in baseball, in the SVC, you know, we have two or three teams that, you know, when the top of your scouting report is just being aware, 1 through 9, any count, any situation, you never know. And I think a lot of that comes down to, you know, we talk about all the time when you're facing these elite pitchers that John mentioned there in his first point, that, you know, let's not let, you know, a Cam DeBoer, a Jarrett Garrison, a Lucas Blackburn, a Gavin Free. Let's not let those types of guys, you know, account for 14 and 15 of the outs. Can we bunt the ball? Can we bunt it out of the middle? Can we make someone else make plays that can maybe put some pressure on the defense? And you know, bunting's not as easy as it sounds, especially when some of those guys are cranking it up there in the low to mid 80s. But nonetheless, sometimes, John, just a bad bunt on the ground beats the strikeout, right? I mean, it makes something happen, moves some people around, and so forth. So I think when you're watching, particularly on the baseball side, I know in softball, a lot of times you'll see the slapper, you'll see different variations of hitting top half the softball and moving runners and doing different things. But in baseball, I think that you'll see a lot of different scenarios, because a lot of times at the high school level, again, forcing a kid to just come in, field it cleanly, step and throw and then catch or scoop or whatever it might be. And a lot of times in bunt defenses, and I think, John, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but when you have the young team, don't you think those are the types of things in practice early in the year that you probably didn't get the number of reps that are required to really be good at it? So a lot of times, you know, you're that kid that's new to the varsity level, they almost can't comprehend. Bruce, you just said it. You got to have the experience to really know. They can't comprehend just how fast from second base you have to get to first base and square up and become the first baseman. You know, a lot of times on those particular things. So, I think bunting puts a lot of pressure on baseball teams, but particularly on young baseball teams. So that's something that I pay close attention to. I know a lot of the analytics in the higher level of baseball nowadays hate the bunt. But in high school, I think it's still very much part of the game. And there's still something to be said about making productive outs and moving people along, particularly on the Monday, Friday games, John, where where you're not seeing a whole lot of 9-8 games, are you? Like you said, those particular games you talked about, 2-0 going into the last inning, I believe, in two of those games you're referencing. The other game, 4-2, you know, those types of things to where that's an interesting point that kind of combines with what you were saying earlier.
Okay. Giving you each 3 chances, do you have more, John?
Well, I can just piggyback on the bunting thing that you mentioned, Shane. Like, I think it. I'm going to go with my personal experience. I mean, I think I learned how to do it early because I was small and couldn't hit. So, but I could always do it. So by the time I got to high school and I was like an all right hitter. Like I was still there. I could get a bunt down if we needed it because you know it was something I've always done. And I feel like that part's kind of been taken out of the game a little bit. So it makes it kind of a harder thing for kids than it probably used to be. You know, obviously with how hard these kids are throwing with the movement on the pitches, it is very difficult anyway. But, you know, it's something that I think, you know, it is kind of a lost art. But if you can do it and do it well, it's going to make it really difficult for a team to play defense on you because, you know, let's say a leadoff walk to start an inning, probably getting a runner on second. And sometimes if you don't make the right play on it, you know, you might have first and third or you might have first and second. Going back to my playing days, my junior year, we won a sectional championship because literally everyone on our team could bunt. Like we bunted the team we played in the sectional final to death. We had like 6 squeezes in a row at one point. Like it was just, they knew it was coming. We were just going to get the ball down. And then the next year kind of lost a chance for a gold ball because we couldn't field bunts. And we had 2 errors in the bottom of the 7th inning of a championship game. You know, so it even good teams have trouble fielding bunts at times. You could see it up at the state tournament every year. At least 1 or 2 times there's going to be like a big bunt or a situation where you just need to get the sure out and teams struggle with that. So I do think bunting is an incredibly important part of the game.
Right. Any other, Shane, you want to drop in?
Well, I think that kind of go. There's a couple things I had extended in the notes that I think I'll probably throw into our box score section here next. So I think the conversation will still be able to grow. So I'm good.
All righty. And we want to take a break here and talk a little bit about Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center and specifically their adult programs. You know, adult learners have dozens of career development opportunities through Pickaway Ross's adult education career-based training programs in addition to pursuing part-time personal enhancement courses. I noticed that they have a nurse's aid program upcoming on April the 28th. You might want to get into that if you're interested. You can give them a call at 740-642-1288. And, of course, just like I did, look them up on the internet on pickawayross.com. That's Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center and specifically their adult programs. Remember, they have financial aid available as well to those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. Again, the phone number 740-642-1288. And as Shane alluded to just before we went into this, we have what we're going to call a deep dive or a dive deep into the box score. I think either works. And what we're going to do here is name some individuals that are sure to be in the first release of SVC leaders following the first round of league play. John, I gave you the chance last time to go first, so let's go over to Shane and see who he mentions here.
Well, I think that the one particular stat that John mentioned on last week's show. He was talking about stolen bases. And when we got to talking about bunting and small ball and so forth, yeah, I don't know if this is the case in softball or not, John, but like the intangibles of the pitcher, you know what I mean? Like not just like in baseball, you know, holding runners, fielding your position, doing some of those things. I know the other night in a key situation, had a big 1-2-3 double play turn with the bases loaded, nobody out, and it led to getting out of the inning with no one scoring. You know, those types of things. So I guess in terms of the box score and the stats, I was just looking at stolen bases. And, you know, one thing we don't do in our pickaway Ross stat work is talk about catcher's throwing percentage and caught stealing. But a lot of times if you get the true game changer box score, I think the stolen base category is interesting. I think the caught stealing is interesting. You know, when you mentioned Southeastern the other night and their speed, you know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. going to give them the opportunity in some close games if they have struggled offensively at times to do some things. I know the McWhorter kid can really run. Smith can really run.
The Lennox kid also can
run. And then the Throckmorton kid from Edina, my goodness, like it's just like you hold your breath. And if you get him out, you're like, okay, he's not allowed to hit for another hour. You know what I mean? it's one of those things where he's just a problem. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if he gets on base, like what do you do with him? You know, so I think that's the case. And I think it comes back to your catcher. I think if you're young at catcher, I think it's really put pressure on coaches to figure out like to what extent. You know, we always think it starts with the pitcher, and it does. There's no doubt in my mind it does. But at the same time, you start to figure out, man, if we can't figure out the catcher position, you know, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? So it's a factor in terms of that Piketon group that you talked about. They can really run a little bit. And Westfall has some kids up there at the top of the order with Williams and
Walters.
Walters, thank you. The man, those two can really run. That's a problem. And it's one of those things where one or both of those guys get on when you consider who's hitting behind them. You know, you're kind of almost defensively playing just to give up a run. You're trying to avoid the big inning because at any time you feel like, oh my goodness, they're one or two, you know, base hits here from breaking into 3-4 run innings. So, The speed, obviously, Uniota with Geisy at the top, they have more athletes than they know what to do with top to bottom. That's the one comment I made after coaching against them earlier this week, and I thought we played one of our best games of the year, was that's a team that through everything going on, I'm afraid is just going to baseball you to death. You know what I mean? They're just going to throw some extra baseball guys at you top to bottom in their lineup, and, man, they do some things the right way. It's very, very impressive. So I guess just speed that you mentioned earlier with the stolen base and the ability – because I think John was really on to something earlier in terms of, man, when you're facing some of these Monday-Friday starters, if you're just going to sit back and wait to get like 12 hits
– yeah.
That may not go well. You know what I mean? Like it's probably going to have to go some walks. It's probably going to have to be some bunting. It's probably going to have to be some stolen bases. You know, some of those different things, John. And I'll be honest, John, I don't know what your take is. I don't know in baseball if Wednesday's that much different. I've been so impressed mm-hmm. with the way some of the number twos have thrown that it's the same. And then obviously in softball, it's every night because it's the same kid you're facing.
Mm-hmm. Well, like for our Wednesday game, we played Piketon. And the Patterson and Tackett kids gave up Patterson gave up 2 in the top of the first, and Tackett gave up 4 in the bottom. And then after that, it was a 1-0 game the rest of the game. And that kind of just goes with what you're saying about the Wednesday starters is, you know, you're still getting good quality work out of those pitchers. Like I mentioned with the Gabe Rose was a Wednesday starter for Zane Trace, throwing a one hitter. And, you know, I like what you said with the stolen bases. You know, obviously that as someone who was never thrown out stealing, I'm just gonna, and I did attempt more than 3 times. I believe I was 4-for-4 or 5-for-5. We'll go with 4-for-4 just to show that I'm humble.
Yeah.
But
now, were those first and third situations where they were kind of giving you the courtesy look, or
no? I don't think. I'm 90% sure at least one of those times
Yes.
T was trying to get me thrown out to get us to start the next inning at the top of our lineup.
Yeah.
And I ruined the plans. Yeah. But really, it's, you know, it's when you talk about those Piketon kids, Johnny Burton is one that can just flat out fly. The Thornsbury kid, I was really impressed with Logan Maynard the other day. Those kids all can run. You know, you mentioned Mike Adgeisi. He's that dude that we're going to try to get something out this week. If we actually are able to have practice showing some of the stuff that he can just do, like the cool stuff he can do. And it's not just baseball oriented. Like I believe he said his Rubik's Cube fastest time was less than 10 seconds. So
phew.
Like, wow. Yeah, it's just stuff like that. Like, that's just one of those things that, like, it's just a cool kid. But going on to a different thing, I think kind of looking at, you know, you can look at the RBIs when they come out offensively. You can look at both leagues where you got like an Avery Miller, Abby Bickenhauser from Westfall, Lexi Scott from St. Trace, Kaylin Miner. It seems like she's getting 2 to 3 RBI a game for Adina. You know, Connor Free, I know, is one for you guys at Paint Valley's kind of racking them up. He's a nice player. You know, and that's one of those kids where, you know, maybe I not seen him for a couple of years. You don't realize how talented of a kid he is. And I know he turned it on in basketball late in the year too. So that's a really nice athlete. Easton Lansing's from Piketon, that dude can flat out hit. I think he's over 500 on the year or close to it. Like, that's insane for the amount of games that they've played. You know, you get kids that are coming up in different situations, like a DC Daly at Uniota comes up with
tough out.
Yep. Yeah. He rarely strikes out. He puts the ball in play. I mean, he got the go-ahead double against Piketon the other day, but then against Southeastern, he tied the game up with just a ground ball to second base. It's, you know, less than 2 outs, just unselfishly with 2 strikes, punches it the other way, just gets the run in, doesn't try to do too much. And those types of kids are ones you really need to, you know, have the ultimate success that you're looking for. I think with like with Southeastern, I'm sure they're going to have someone because it seems like Lexi Lockwood scores 4 runs a game.
She's another kid in the stolen base category that racks them up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got all these really nice, talented kids around the league. I'm just excited to see some of these RBI numbers because I think with some of these schools that are scoring a lot, you know, obviously you're going to have a chance to get more. But at the same time, it's – that's where it would be nice to almost be able to throw out like every stat and just see like runners in scoring position average and just stuff like that. But I mean, you know, it's something that I think is obviously important, getting those runs in and, you know, quality at bats as well. That's something that I really like on the Game Changer app because, you know, you can look back and you say, I mean, that felt like a really good at bat, but you can actually track it, and you know it has it all. And
you know, John, I think the Game Changer is going to give us an opportunity to grow our stats in the future if we choose to. Because I know when we were going through it in volleyball, we would get some suggestions of some things early on that they wanted to add, like we do the serve percentage. Mm-hmm. Well, what we found is when that was first mentioned to us by, you know, a pair in the Adina program, of course, because I mean, that's something, you know, they were a little bit ahead of what was going on. You know, there, if I'm being honest, I'm not going to say, you know, who was or wasn't, but there was like 4 teams in the league that like halfway through the year didn't quite know what the serve percentage for each individual kid was at the time. I mean, now you're going back like 8 or 9 years now, but like, I'm just saying, like, so what you're saying about some of these advanced stats, I think, you know, would be interesting. I think Game Changer probably gives teams a little bit more opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I will argue one thing on Game Changer. We have a kid on both of our JV and varsity roster who won each that just gets hit a ton. Like, they get hit an absurd amount of times for, like, not trying to get hit. And that doesn't count into the quality at bats for some reason. Like, every other possible way for it to be a quality at bat fits. But, like, I had one kid who was at, like, 33%. out of his 19 plate appearances, but he's been hit seven times. So that automatically takes out seven at bats that or plate appearances that would be quality at bats. So, you know, I think they still got to tighten that up, but I really like it. It's like I was showing the coach from Logan Elm as I'm coaching third base and I'm updating it on my using my phone.
Wow.
And he was like, he said he was going to look at it after the game. I was like, yeah, it's only takes a couple times of doing it to really get used to it. And thankfully that was something with,
let me just change the subject completely for a second. I apologize, Bruce. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, it's okay.
More, but like do you miss, and maybe I'm just showing my age.
I'm going to say yes.
Maybe I'm just officially old, but like, do you miss just a good old fashioned book and pencil in the dugout and, you know, filling it in pitch by pitch?
Yes and no. The only reason I say no is because I've watched some of these kids try to do it before. And for me,
forget coaching. I'm saying, like, if you were the stat person for whatever team, okay, I'm saying, like, do you miss just the good old fashioned, I'm going to keep my neat book and I've got this here and this here and this, you know,
100%. Yeah. Because, well, for a long time, whenever I was coaching JV, my mom would actually come and keep my book.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, there'd be times where she would ask me like what something was, but for the most part, I didn't care because she knew the game. She's watched it for, I'm not going to say how many years because she'd kill me, but she's watched it for a long time.
A few games. Yeah.
Yeah. And like from when my dad was a coach, I played, my brother played, she probably kept the book for hundreds of games. And so like, I'm like, she's got it. And now it's, I do miss it. You know, I with Coach Thomas up at Westfall, we went to Game Changer probably around like 2012, 2013, sometime around there is when we made the switch over. And, you know, it's definitely different. I still like to keep score when I go to baseball, like Major League Baseball games. I think if I had someone that I could really rely on every night, I think I would probably do both because I like being able to look back and like the Game Changer app has, you know, you can go back and look at play by play, but you know, it doesn't always say what's there. Like there might be, like even in the old paper pencil scorebooks, you can keep notes. Like,
well, that's just it. I think you touched on this last week too. You know, when I'm sitting there scouting or whatever, it doesn't quite tell me on that stolen base, did he get a good jump? Did he go on the curveball? Did it, you know, what kind of lead was he getting when he didn't go? You know, all those different notes that you're talking about. It's just, and don't get me wrong, Game Changer is so much better. I'm glad that people that can't attend the games can follow it. I know people in my family use it and so forth to follow the games. And I don't miss the old school paper and calculator,
right?
The total stats up for 27 games. So I appreciate that. So,
yeah,
I thought I would ask.
Yeah. I also like, okay, so this goes back to like Mr. Mace, Alex Mace, when he's running the regional tournaments, he has me keep a paper pencil book also. And that goes to the state. So it's still valued by like the OSSAA.
Yeah, I've done that before, and that's hard. Like, their PA's looking down at you and being like, how are you going to score that? Well, I don't. I mean, like, the coach in me or the scorekeeper in me?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I still enjoy being able to do it on occasion. So it is fun to me.
I had a few more, Bruce. Sure. I mean, I look here. I don't know. John maybe can tell me I'm wrong. I think we've had four or five boys hit a home run. I don't know that they'll be huge. They're obviously, the board hit a blast out of the VA there. I know Brock Lanton has one. The kid from Zane Trace, Edler, is that who hit the other night? Sounded like it was a pretty good shot. You know, I think I know Paint Valley, the East, Dax East steps off to just an unbelievable start. I know he faced Cam DeBoard, Peyton Weiss, and Jarrett Garrison this week, had five hits and his average went down.
That's not bad.
He's certainly a talented young man. You know, so I'll be anxious to see. I think the RBI total you mentioned is interesting because so much of that's where you hit in the order and who hits around you. I think that's what the beauty of the team sport still that gets lost sometimes. You know, it's are you asked to be an on-base guy? Are you asked to drive in runs? You know, if you're asked to maybe be the not so prototypical leadoff hitter or two hole hitter, you know, what kind of production are you getting on base out of your 7, 8, 9 to give you more RBI opportunity? You know, so those are some of the things I looked at too. But man, that Westfall and Adina and Uniota, those are the three top to bottom. It seems like some of the other teams you can kind of guess the two or three kids it's going to come from. But those teams, I am absolutely amazed, John, night in, night out when I'm typing on the website, the long list. Like I'll go three or four games and then I'll randomly see like a name that hit a home run that hadn't even been in the box score three nights. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's the depth of those teams are unbelievable. And I just wonder if that won't be the difference in terms of putting these standings together. Because let's face it, three games in, we're still a little small sample size. And, you know, you might have had a good draw in the matchups or, you know, not so much. And then keep in mind in the pitch count air, your Monday, Friday guy probably, unless you did something different, probably becomes your Wednesday guy this week. So, you know, again, some teams might do something a little different there early in the year because of counts and different things like that. But that'll be interesting to see if some of the Monday guys kept, you know, pitch counts down to where they're going to turn around and be Monday, Friday this week.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think that clears my notes.
As I was listening to you guys, something, you know, it's not one of these quantifiable things, but after having last year off, I guess I'll ask this question. Are you ever surprised at some of the people you may have seen? Maybe it was a sophomore that's now a senior the last time you saw them. How they change, how high school kids can change in the period of a year easily. And now you guys are seeing some of these people 2 years hence from the last time you saw them. Are you ever just amazed at how they've changed? I mean, physically and in skill, because I see that, yeah. You know, go to a football game and you haven't seen the kid, you know, maybe doing anything for 12 months. And now I see the kid and it's like, this is a totally different person. They're, you know, they've grown up, they've, you know, they've acquired new speed. I'm sure you're seeing that this year over because we didn't have last year.
Mm-hmm. And I will say it amazes me how quickly hair grows.
Yeah.
Especially in Pike County.
Yeah. I wasn't really talking about a hair, but yeah. Okay.
I know. I'm just saying like that team, like I believe they call it lettuce. In the show and stuff, like, you know, just good hair. Uh-huh. Piketon has that. Like okay. Those kids, yeah. And I mean, obviously they can play, but also that is something you notice. Like when they get off the bus, like, man, these guys, they got a lot of hair. but yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, I even see it, you know, in school.
Well,
like,
I'm sure there's do. Kids, yeah.
Well, there's kids you see that are like, you maybe don't see them for a couple months.
Right.
But then you're like, man, they've been in the weight room.
Yeah.
Like you can just see it then, which gets you excited for seeing what they can do in the fall or, mm-hmm. you know, in the spring, whatever their next sport is, you get excited to see it. And then also for me teaching in the middle school, most of the time, I'm seeing these kids that are just, like there are some kids that are just growing
yeah.
like crazy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. And you know, that's, I remember this is going outside the SBC, but there's a kid from Miami Trace a few years ago in basketball where it felt like he got taller. And it's not even, this isn't even one of the current huge kids they have, but it felt like he got taller every time we saw him. I was like, I thought our kids were kind of tall and this kid just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So yeah, it does blow your mind sometimes. Especially since I feel like I'm getting shorter
yeah.
every day.
Well, yeah. That happens as you get old.
Sometime. Right.
Now, I just,
you know, in the boys sport, Bruce, you know, it goes from like the 7th and 8th grade, I see the jump, the 9th to 10th grade. And then like you said, from the 10th to the senior, I think what's unique is during this, how many teams have seniors? Like, the one reason we feel that way about Piketon is they're one of the teams that they were really young before the shutdown.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden after the shutdown, they're one of the oldest teams in the league. Mm-hmm. Well, you put 4, 5, 6, 17, 18-year-olds out there, and your range and your arm strength and all of those different things defensively are just different. You know what I mean? That's where I notice. I notice it even in practice sometimes. I'll go out and I'll be hitting fly balls. You hit it to a varsity outfielder, you just kind of get it in the range. Sometimes you're ranging them on purpose. You're hitting it to a couple JV outfielders, you better be pretty accurate. You know what I mean? You better be able to drop it in the bucket. I mean, the range is something that jumps out at you quite a bit with the age. I know in our program this year, we know you have the two seniors, but it's one of those that it's a situation where, you're on to something there. You mentioned a couple kids earlier, John, that you hadn't seen before. Connor Free, I think, is one you mentioned, and so forth. And I think the Daly kid there, Uniota, kind of fits that mold in terms of for me. He was a really nice young kid that had really good sports IQ when I last coached against him. And now all of a sudden I scout him and coach against him. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's a young man that can, like, really play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's – I think that's a good point, Bruce.
Yeah, they just surprise you from year to year. And if it's been a year since I've seen them, I've been very surprised. And I'm guessing you guys, as you're coaching – you know, as they get off the bus, it's like, oh, I remember him as a sophomore. He was, you know, he is something to be reckoned with. And now look at him or her, and she's grown 6 inches. And you know, what can they do now? I just see that. And of course, that's the age where they're getting their maturity and so forth. And
well, I know, John, that Trent Mettler and I were just talking the other night, and, you know, Trent's a young man who's really grown into a nice shortstop, and he stepped up and he's tried to do some catching for us. And just, he's kind of one of those kids, like, whatever he's got to do, he'll do. And, you know, we were talking about that very thing, about how, you know, I was like, you know how we do this, 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 and this. And I'll be like, oh, wait a minute, you were a freshman when we last did that. You know what I mean? Right. It's one of those things where you haven't done that. And, you know, he's a kid that is growing into his role and doing a lot of things. So I'm sure every coach could probably rattle off 2-3 kids of that exact example Bruce is asking about of, you know, it seemed like yesterday when we were trying to get ready for last year, they were a freshman. Now, all of a sudden, Bruce, they're juniors, and they're completely different in their physical appearance. But again, maybe that mental development, they never did really get that game speed experience, and that's what they're catching up on.
Yeah, and I'm guessing just as the season goes on, more experience is incurred, that there's going to be there'll be a huge difference from this past week until the last week of the season, I'm guessing, because they just get all kinds of experience. All right, we're going to get into the inbox, but first we want to talk about North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff out at Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, they take care of all your small animal needs. North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-7387. They are your, as I said, a small animal clinic, and they've got all kinds of things. Get on their website, which is northforkanimalclinic.com, for a look at their philosophy about dealing with your animals. They feel that animals have personalities too, and they want to get to know your animal. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, North Fork Animal Clinic, 740-773-7387. Shane mentioned this in the open, where we were talking about a great email question that came out, and we thought we'd kind of chew it around a little bit. The inbox question, or the inbox email, says, I think it's cool that the VA lets our high school teams play. I know most kids have played there a lot. How do you guys think the game changes in that ballpark, if at all? That's the first kind of question. And then something Shane also alluded to it. Do you think the Southeast District is making a mistake if they use home field through the first round of the district like the basketball tournament did? If you recall, basketball teams played up until the first round of the district at the highest seeded home court, I believe. So, gentlemen, I'll put it to you this way. How do you guys think the game changes in that ballpark, the VA? And then secondly, do you think the Southeast District is making a mistake if they use the home field through the first round of the district like basketball did instead of the VA, I suppose?
Well, I'll start with the first part.
Sure.
I think at the VA, you better have really fast outfielders.
Yep, yep.
And very sure-handed outfielders, because anything past them, there's no grass to shut it down.
Yep.
Yeah, that ball is rolling to the fence. And that is also a big ballpark, so anything in the gap, if it gets to the fence, is a minimum of a triple, unless the kid falls or something. But I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, obviously, it plays fast, but without the spikes, it doesn't play, you know, insanely fast. But mm-hmm. if you hit a line drive over the second baseman or shortstop, there's a chance it's getting to the wall. We had a game there the other night that was 19-15.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was I think there was three or four double or triples in the game. Which rarely happens. I know Jackson had a kid with four triples in a game there. Just pretty much all line drives to the gap, and that kid could fly. So, you know, I think that's the biggest difference to me. I do think the pitcher's mound is a little different, just because it's not natural. You know, so there can be some weird hops off that. Like if you hit a ground ball off the front edge of it, mm-hmm. or one of the edges of the pitcher's mound, it's not having the same bounce as if you hit it off a regular pitcher's mound. So yeah. I do think that there are some differences there. I think for the most part, it's outfielders have to play deeper, so there's a chance balls are going to drop in a little bit more. Because, like I mentioned, if a ball gets to the gap, you're in big trouble. So yeah. you probably are going to play deeper to cut off those gaps a little bit, but – yeah, it's fun. I think it feels more, I don't know, it feels more like a big time game when
yeah,
you're there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when you play it, because you know, they do the announcing, they say names properly, which for some of us, that's a delicacy, I'll say. I don't think that's the proper term, but yeah, for you know, sometimes names don't get said right.
Well, and I'll bite my tongue on that. Go ahead. I'm a PA guy.
I know they do it at jail.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, exactly. They don't, but we'll talk. We can talk about that too. But go ahead, John.
I just wanted to say that, you know, Micah Geise mm-hmm. has had about 14 different names so far at our field.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, Shane, what about you? How's the game change at the ballpark at the VA?
Well, when I look at the notes, John's spot on right at the top of my note yep. is the outfield. It's more of an offensive ballpark for sure in the high school game, because what I just said to you in the last segment about how, you know, your range and your arm strength and some of those things at the high school level, just, you know, most years aren't going to be, you know, good enough to play sometimes in that ballpark, particularly in the outfield. I will say that you know, good pitching is obviously good pitching. It still has the ability to shut some things down and get some different things. You know, the ground ball defense is usually going to get some pretty good hops. A lot of times you are able to play just a speck deeper because the ball will get to you. Some of those things, the big backstop's a factor, obviously puts a lot of pressure on your catcher. Yeah, you know, I think those are probably some of the things, but I just think that the point John was making there at the end is a great one to make about how it doesn't matter who you're playing. When you play there, it just has a different feel. You know, you just have a little bit more pep in the step. The kids seem to be a little bit more jacked up. No matter how many times you play there, it doesn't get old.
I was going to ask you guys, you know, obviously I've not been there, but or close enough to the teams to know this, but do the people or do the players enjoy playing there?
I think so, John, because I would even go as far to say that the fans enjoy watching the game more. You know, some mm-hmm. like to sit up there behind home plate or so forth. Some right. like to sit out in the sun. Some like to go down the picnic area. It's just – it's a really neat ballpark setting, and I just think everybody involved – I would probably, if you asked umpires, I'd probably think they'd probably tell you, hey, we like umpiring here. It, mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where the game itself and that ballpark, it's just a lot of fun. It's certainly different, and it impacts the game significantly in terms of, you know, probably 3 to 4 plays a night compared to maybe playing at a regular high school field. But it's certainly worth it when you consider all the positives.
Well, given
I'll even piggyback off what you were saying, Shane, about, you know, I think the paints, I think Brian Wickline, I think Jacob Wise, the other workers that they have, they take it serious. They mm-hmm. they're not just there to open it up.
Yeah, they're not offended that like the high school's playing. They're inviting us. They want us.
Yeah.
There. Yes.
Yeah, they want it to be a great experience for all the teams, all the players. So, I mean, I think that helps also. You know, they're not going to send like they have Tim Ryder, who does the paints announcing, does games on occasion out there too. Like, they're not going to just throw somebody who just anybody up there to do the scoreboard and PA announcing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the music adds to it too. You know, when Travis Tritt comes on, you know that you're ready to play. Uh-huh. Like, it's something the Paints have done for years. And like our kids, when we're getting ready to play out there on Tuesday, like said, well, that means it's game time. Mm. Like, it's almost like when you hear basketball 30 at the Convo, you know that means the game's about to start. Well, you hear Travis Tritt singing about it being a great day to be alive.
Yep.
You know, it's a great day to play baseball. So I think I enjoy coaching there. I know I liked playing there when I was growing up, but I like watching games there too. So I really enjoy having that facility.
Well, given all that, what are your opinions about whether or not it be used for the Southeast District through the district tournament? Like basketball?
I think staying on the high school fields would be quite a risk. I think, you know, when you consider rain, when you consider conditions of field, when you consider the travel, all those different things they were concerned about. And then again, just the opportunity to make the district tournament's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, beyond where it's played, though, I think the one point I'll make, and I'll turn it over to John, the one point I'll make about this. In basketball, we make a big deal about crowd and this, and football about playing in front of your home crowd or on your home field. What we've learned in just 3 league nights already, John, is when you're playing tight games where baseball and softball are different than any other sport, is the home team has such a strategic advantage mm-hmm. once you hit the bottom of the 7th inning. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you don't win a game in your first 7 at-bats on the road, you got to have 6 outs to win. Like, you just mm-hmm. talked about how hard the 19th and 20th and 21st. Well, think about how hard those 6 outs become mm-hmm. to get and pitch counts. And now you're getting into the second pitcher. And now if it's in the next round, 3 pitcher. You know what I mean? It's that's a tricky dynamic. And it's one thing to play to run to win. It's another thing to play to run and then have to go get the other team's top of the order out. You know, that type of thing. So in basketball, you know, you're not guaranteed the last shot
yeah.
if you play at home. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? In football, you're not guaranteed the last drive of regulation if you're losing. You know what I mean? It's just not the way the sports are played. So like baseball, softball, there's such a strategic advantage to being the home team.
Yeah. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. the atmosphere as much as it is the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think with, you know, it's hard to rely on one facility to host everything, but at the same time, if you rely on that one facility, it's going to be even. Like whenever we were able to play down at OU for Division II baseball, everyone's playing on the same field. Like it's an even playing field, and yes, it matters who's the home team, but it doesn't give one team a massive advantage over the other. And I think if you get – I know this is probably going back 10 or 11 years, but I know all the district games were played at the VA at one point, like all every level. Right. Shane, I know you've won a couple district championships there, correct?
Yeah, we played We played our district there, and then our regional was at the Beaversfield in Lancaster. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean it's you know, I think it would be good to be able to get all of them there. I think in like Division II, you're only going to have three games because only one team gets out. So once you get to the district level, like why can't it be at the same place? You know, and I think that same thing with
I think just like the Convo in basketball, it's just like the VA in baseball. It's just the facility is thought so highly of by all involved. I think that's the sacrifice of that crazy schedule that they try to pack it in as much as possible.
Right. And I think that, you know, obviously they have lights. So think about that, too. If you've got, let's say, Hillsborough and Warren are playing. And, you know,
yeah, darkness gets you the schools. Seventh.
Yeah. And then you got to go back there.
Yeah.
It's
See you tomorrow night for the last thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I know one of the years before I came back to Uniota, they played at Gallia Academy. And I want to say like the bases were loaded when they called it for darkness in the bottom of the seventh. They went down for one batter.
Wow.
Like one batter. And that was the game.
Right.
And it's just you don't want that to happen. And I think with finding a facility, especially when OU is not available, I think if they can get with the VA, that would be the best for all involved. And yeah, there's going to be some travel, but for the most part, we've had the regional here since about 1994, mm-hmm. and you know that's pretty consistent where teams know where they're going to go. And you've got teams that are coming from all over to play in Chillicothe. Like this weekend, that PBR showcase is going to be at the VA, where you've got like Cincinnati Hills Christian Academy playing Lakota East, which are like 10 minutes apart, but they're coming to play on a neutral site in a showcase. And it's like people like coming to Chillicothe to play. So people come from all over the state, and I don't think, like, if you asked a Sheridan if they minded going to Chillicothe to play in a district semifinal as opposed to maybe having to go to just throwing it out, like, I'll just use Hillsborough again, save them an extra hour. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be perfect, but I think it's about the best case scenario that you could have this year.
Okay, we've solved that. Good job, guys.
All right. Also, Shane mentioned it with the amount that you can spread out there.
Yeah,
like you can social distance and get a bunch of people in that place.
Not an issue during this time right now, for sure. Right. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So,
Good point. Well, if there's been anything in this podcast that you would like to contribute to or have a question about, you may contact either of these two gentlemen and question them or comment on what they've said. You can even question what I've said. People do all the time. You can contact Shane on email at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and he's also available on Twitter, where his handle is SVC Sports Zone. He also maintains his two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. John is available through email, jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and on Twitter, Coconut Wallpapa. Both Shane and John use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk when tweeting about SVC related information on Twitter. You can also call our DBK Media Services voice line, leave a message there, 740-569-3254. That number again, so I don't stumble through it, 740-569-3254. As always, we ask that you share our information on Facebook and Twitter and give us a great review and maybe a good rating on iTunes as well. And that is pretty much it, Shane. Any final thoughts, John Bruce?
No, not sports related. I will say I will give a shout out to a movie theater I went to today. First okay. time in Nobody with Bob Odenkirk. It was pretty fun. It was kind of like John Wick for a 50-plus-year-old. But I guess Keanu Reeves is 50. But, yeah, just went, and it was felt kind of normal. And it's nice as someone who doesn't really like people that much that nobody could sit next to me. Yeah, just the biggest thing is you pick your seats early. Okay, great. Now I can pick where I want to sit and not have to look around and go around people, and it was great.
Wow.
Probably will do it maybe once a month until some good movies come out, but it was definitely it was nice, and you know, obviously the people were happy to see us because they probably don't have that many people come in, so right. I think that's one of those things that it felt normal. Yep. Like, sorry to delay this, going to, like, I have this thing on my phone or the Apple Wallet, mm-hmm. and that's where I put the tickets, so they just scan it and whatnot. In 2020, February 29th was the last time I went to the movies. I had went 9 times. It was all on Sundays, would just constantly go to see movies. So it felt normal, mm-hmm. like for the first time in like 13 months. So that part was really nice.
Yep. Shane, any final thoughts?
Well, no, I think I'll shut us down here and get us out of here. I guess I would just go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. You know, hang in there with us during this time. We want to make sure we highlight the spring athletes still, even if it's not with the same type of graphics and different things like that. We want to make sure that we're still doing that. And then obviously it's not going to change the podcast setting. We'll still have the links to our most recent shows. And again, I think most of our listeners by year 10 now and 300 of these things, or even if you're new to the show, even this year, you probably already have your different way you find the show on your favorite podcast app or, you know, through our social media releases, or you just go straight to Bruce's site in the first place. But, that's not going to change the podcast. And we're going to do that. And then we're going to really take a look and see, some of the different ways. I know there's a lot of different ways we've come across during the COVID-19 that we can be covering kids, and we're going to look at some different options and see, are there some different types of things on SVC Sports Zone that we should be doing beyond the website. So can't thank our sponsors enough. They've been terrific. And Bruce, I don't know if you have the count in front of you. Do you know how many more we'll be running out here at them this year? I it seems like it's probably about five.
Yeah, I think four or five more, I think, are scheduled. Okay. I don't know. No.
I think the three of us even flirted with the idea of if we do, you know, three or four, maybe John and I even get a chance to call like a softball game or do something with the track, because we certainly don't want to cheat those people. I think some track information will be coming more available here in the next week or two. Right now, I always get a kick out of the track people, how everything's so secretive and they don't show everything and they don't run this or run that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of the gamesmanship and the strategy. That's kind of interesting. So all of those things are going to be available. So continue to check us out. It may look a little different. It'll still be the same type of passion and trying to get the kids the coverage. And then make sure you're always you know, coming on board with us every week here on SVC Sports Talk over this final month, as we really try to highlight as many kids and programs as possible. So guys, on that note, appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again next week. So make sure you're checking out all the different features that we have when we cover our kids on SVCSportsZone.com. You know, we'll try to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.